It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. You aren't going to find anything else like it. They are our sponsors because I own three of them, and I truly believe in this machine. I truly believe in the people that work there and the product. Mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $400 off. Just say, Coach Collins sent me. Coach Unplugged sent me, and they'll take really, 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 really good care of you. Trust me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. You're going to want to check it out before prices increase. You know, it's just that things happen. Coach Collins has only got so many hours in a day. Go over and check it out. It's got the roadmap. It's got everything that you need to become a better basketball coach in one stop. You know, if you're looking for clinic videos, if you're looking how to break a 1-3-1, if you're looking how to run a zone offense, if you're looking how to pick an offense, if you're looking for anything, it's got it there for you. As I hit my microphone, oh well. It also helps us pay the bills, helps us keep all these podcasts, the high school hoops and 5-minute basketball coaching podcasts and funnel down and all these things free to you. Teachhoops.com is what pays the bills and keeps the lights on. So we'd love if you went over and check that out, and let's head off to the podcast. All right. Good morning, everybody, or evening or whatever it is. We got Coach, help me off, Tanoff, right?
Yes, sir.
I did that right. All right. So people don't know that are listening more than maybe even watching. It's crazy. So I have people send resumes. I say resume. No one ever sends me a resume. This word of God, this thing is 1, 2, 3 pages. It's awesome. Most people send like 2 lines and it's great because I don't like, so there's way. It would literally take the hour if we went through your whole resume, but this thing is awesome. I can tell you're not like me, like an old man. I'm, you know, so far out of having to write resumes. So you graduated from Kenyon College. I want to say Manawatsa graduated from there. Does that name sound familiar?
Ah, Manawatsa.
He runs PGC.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Does that name sound familiar?
Yeah, once you put it in PGC context, absolutely.
Yeah. So Mano is like, I think he graduated from there. If not that, I know graduated from there.
The big name in basketball would be Coach Smart down at Texas.
Ooh, maybe it's Coach Smart because he's from around this area in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so
maybe it's Coach Smart. It might not be Mono. It might be Coach Smart. You're right.
Yeah.
I knew somebody I knew.
It's like, Shaka still holds, I believe he holds the single game, single season, and career mark for assists at Kenyon still.
Oh, I believe that. All right, so what we're going to do is the way I usually start these out is I'm gonna hit the ball over the net. I'm gonna throw it into your court.
Yeah.
Give us a little background. So for the people that are listening, give us a little background of your basketball kind of journey is the way I describe it. You know, we all start here and end up here, and it's kind of how did it happen?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, so I guess basketball was the first sport I was drawn to and played growing up. And being an only child, my dad was my coach, you know, through rec league, Y ball, city league, all that stuff.
Yep.
And after I was in sixth grade, I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and my parents still live there.
Are you really? Oh my God, this is a small world. My wife's aunt lives in Kalamazoo, so I spent a lot of the Kalamazoo Promise, you know.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, all right.
I didn't take advantage of that.
Right.
But yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great city. Great city.
But yeah, no. So after I was in sixth grade, the YMCA league didn't have the funding or interest for a middle school league, a genuine middle school league of just seventh and eighth graders. But I had been playing in the league for so long, and going into my seventh grade year, I kind of looked at my dad and said, "Hey, this has been a really big part of me. I'd like to stay involved and be part of the community." And so I was fortunate enough that my dad was actually very good friends with the head of the YMCA who was running the basketball program. And so they talked a little bit. And so when I was in seventh grade, I coached a team of second and third graders with my dad through the YMCA. And that was sort of the first start to coaching that I had.
That's pretty young. That's really young.
I can still remember going to like the coaches meetings before the year with the program director. And, you know, all these dads are sort of, their heads just are on a swivel when they see me walk into the room.
Right.
I mean, I had to call these parents, the kids on my team, and I can still remember. I mean, I'm stunned that some of them brought their kids to practice that first night when they found out, you know, a 13-year-old was going to be coaching their son.
Right. Oh, I thought I was young. I did it. I played college basketball, but then I also was student teaching and I also helped out with an eighth grade team. And I thought, oh my God, I'm only 21. What am I doing? And you were third. That's crazy. I don't know if I've ever heard. Well, you should have gotten your, I see on your resume that you became a member of the National Association of Basketball Coaches.
Yeah.
I signed up my son when he was seven.
Nice.
Because I want to get him good seats.
Yeah, there you go.
See, I'm thinking. See, so by the time he's 30, he's going to get good NCAA Final Four tickets. Yeah, absolutely. I know. So.
No. That's how it started. And it went well that seventh grade year. And after that, my dad sort of sat me down and said, "All right, it's time for you to take the reins." And I coached then another second and third grade team when I was in eighth grade. And then throughout high school, I coached in the YMCA's middle school league. So seventh and eighth graders.
Okay.
And that's sort of when I started to think like, okay, this is really something that's important to me. You know, I grew up doing this with my dad. I can still remember seeing him put lineups and game notes together and thinking, you know, that's really what I want to do. And so going into my freshman year at Kenyon or going into my sophomore year at Kenyon was the year after Shaka made the run into the Final Four with VCU. And everyone at Kenyon sort of had this light, like, oh my God, he's in the Final Four.
Right.
And so I was talking to my parents and expressed that this is something that I wanted to pursue. And so, like I said, it was either freshman or sophomore year. It must have been going into Kenyon. I just wrote letters to probably a dozen of your biggest name coaches, you know, your Shevskys, your Izzos, you know, even on the women's side, you know, your Muffet McGraws, Gina Auriemmas. And I said, "Hey, listen, this is something I want to pursue. This is my story. What's some advice you can give me?"
You know what? I'm going to pause you for a second because I did this pre-internet.
Oh,
that's how old
God.
I am. So I did the same thing. And if you've ever read anything about Buzz Williams, he used to write like 40 or 50 of them a day.
I love Buzz.
So I love Buzz too. So is it snarming there? It looks like it's storming.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's awesome. It's raining here in Wisconsin too. But anyway, so I wrote a bunch too, and I got a bunch of responses. The best response I got back was from Bobby Knight. It was classic. And I'm betting that was
great.
It was. I still got the letter actually. And you know, I've won. We've been very successful. I've done a lot of things, but that letter still means a lot because he basically said, here's what you want to do. You know, he basically said, I don't hire people that I don't know and I don't trust. Which is what I tell, you know, I tell all the young coaches that, you know, if you want to coach for Coach K, he better know your family. You better work really, he's got to know you really well, or you played for him because he's got to trust you. But what Bobby said, and I bet you heard, and I'll let you talk in a second, but I bet what he said was, he said, go work camps, get your name out there, work everything you can. And I'm looking at your resume. I see all these camps. That's how it is. It's no different than the business world. It's like who you know and who you connect with. That's how Buzz got the Marquette job. He was sitting next to Crean. Crean got to know him. They were recruiting the same guys. There was an opening. He got hired. Crean left. He walked in. I mean, all that stuff is part of its timing.
Yeah.
Part of it's getting, you know, going out and having a beer or soda with a guy, and then they knows, ooh, I can trust this guy. You know, he's not the shady type. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all. I'm glad you mentioned that because I got two responses when I first sent out my first set of letters. One very brief response from Coach Izzo at Michigan State. And I'm thinking I got that just because I was from Michigan. And, you know, it was just very short. But the other one I got, and I still have the letter. It's funny you mentioned Coach Knight because the only other response I got was from Coach K.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he wrote me this really long letter that basically said, it's great to see someone as young as you with this passion. And it's good to know that you understand how hard this is. And then it was go work camps. And so that first summer, it was at, like I said, after Shaka made the Final Four at VCU, and I went and I just did camps at VCU. I sent Shaka a letter, said, hey, listen, a Kenyan guy, I just want to come in. I just want to work camps. And that was the start. And I've been throughout college and even into now with the high school job I have, I still go work camps every summer. And, you know,
man, it's tiring. Wait till you get to be my age. Like, you know, I just turned 50. It gets like, I run our camp for a couple of weeks, man. I don't get any affiliation. Mono doesn't pay me anything. The only camp I send my kid to is PGC, other than my own at this point. And those are tiring. Oh my God, the PGC ones are crazy.
Yeah. Sort of, you know. So VCU was you know, younger kids. It was a day camp,
right?
New people, and so I ended up working it at like Georgetown, which was, you know, still a day camp, but a step up intensity.
Right.
And I think I went to do like overnight camps at Rutgers, and that was even a step farther up.
Right.
And then after a few years, I got in with the Hoop Group, and that was like
– Hoop Group's good. Yep. That's the
cream of the crop.
Yep. It's very good. And the thing is, it's you want to get past the babysitting.
Yeah,
because the lower level ones are babysitting. The ones you first described are babysitting. Yeah, you want to get up to the points like PGC or Hoop Group or something that it's boy, the kids are there. The girls and the guys are there to learn.
Oh,
and it's
absolutely
intense, and it's like a college atmosphere. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so tiring. It's like you sleep, eat, and play basketball. That's exactly. Like heaven on earth. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, and that's sort of how I got here. You know, I've known that I've always wanted to coach in college. And when I graduated from Kenyon, you know, still worked camps all that summer. But nothing was really coming up with guys I knew. And this job opened up down here to be the high school math teacher and do basketball. And I'm finishing up my third year.
So tell me a little bit about your school. So I'm going to, before I forget, my program is we've gone to the beach ball. We went to beach ball maybe 3 years ago.
Yep.
And we're coming down to the Farm Bureau, which is in Spartansburg. Is that right? Going around with my guys during the winter break to get out of the cold winters in Wisconsin also to bring them together.
No, that's
there's great basketball in South Carolina.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I it was what, a month and a half ago. I was up with the guy I coach with, our AD, we were up watching Zion at in the state finals. So I mean, there's definitely some good.
We don't want to play him, but we'll play. He's unbelievable. I mean, and I tell the boys, like, I mean, we lost in the state semifinals. We've got a kid going to Dartmouth. We had a really good team. I said, those highlight tapes are great, and he's going to be a great college player. Those are highlight tapes. You know, give me some game film. You know, he's a really good player. There's a reason all the college scouts are after him, but he doesn't look like he's 16, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all. Not at all. No. It was crazy because the team they were playing – The strategy they had was to just foul him. And I mean, I'm telling you, the team that they were playing must have had, they must have been in the double bonus, you know, by the end of the first quarter.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he certainly is quite an athlete.
Do you play quarters?
Yeah.
Yeah, we play halves. We just went to halves. Okay. Yeah, we just went to halves.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know. I don't know what I feel about it. It's different. It's definitely a different flow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And you got to play a lot more kids. You have to play more kids. So basically, I treat it like a college game in the sense that some of my better players, I know I'm pulling them out at some point to just give them, you know, if you watch a college game,
Yeah,
those guys don't play 40 minutes. Nobody plays 40 minutes in a college
game. Exactly.
It's like an NBA game. You watch it, they're always coming out because they have to rest. 48 minutes is too long. Yeah. So I kind of treat it like that. Like, all right, I got to give these guys their reps and their rest at some point. How did you fall into this one in South Carolina?
Well, so one of my professors at Kenyon, I was a math econ double major. And one of my professors knew that I was sort of having some difficult times sort of getting that first job out of college. And she said, you know, she brought my attention to an organization is called Southern Teachers Agency, and they specialized in finding teachers in schools in the South, but specifically private and independent schools where you might be able to go right out of an undergrad and not having to need that graduate degree.
Right, and I'm telling you, it's hard to get your first job.
I mean, I think I took the people at the school still make fun of me. I took this job, and I showed up the morning and parent welcome night was that night. You know, everyone else at the school had been there for like a week doing teaching presentation. And I mean, so I got this real late in the summer after graduation.
And then you had to go, oh my God, that's great. I got my first coaching job, my first head job 3 weeks before the season started. I'm actually glad it happened that way because I didn't know any better. I mean, if I'd have had 9 months to worry about it, oh, I would have had 83 different offenses.
I made it through those first 2 months.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's a blur. When you start teaching, it's a blur. When you're teaching and coaching, it's just a blur. I've gotten better at it. I've talked to other people about this. It's like you probably don't have a staff either, do you? You have one assistant?
No, it's just – so we when I got to the school, they had a varsity head coach. But myself and our current AD, both real young guys, he's a couple of years older than me. We sort of ran the JV team. You know, we'd never met each other before. And after our first year, they decided to part ways with the varsity coach and sort of gave the two of us free reign. So the two of us do JV boys, we do varsity boys, he's the AD, I'm the assistant AD. So I mean, we just sort of
everything.
Do everything.
Everything.
And it's great that way.
It is.
It's a blur, but it is great that way.
And you know what? It's, again, old guy. It's different. Like, and I've told people this. I was speaking at a Hall of Fame club a couple of weeks ago, or 4 or 5 days ago, and I was talking about this. And it's like, I've gotten to the point in my staff that I have an assistant coach. This is unbelievable. His name's Nate Olson. He takes care of all the stuff outside of my realm of caring. Yeah. You know, It's unbelievable. But all the stuff you need to get done that I need to get done, he does it. He does it better than, you know, I've had two of them in my entire career. They both been awesome. You know, then I have another guy that's really good at X's and O's. He's probably drawing up our new offense as we speak right now. Yeah. And then him and I will bounce it back. So it's like I'm so blessed that I got all these guys that it kind of lets me do fun stuff like this and other stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really worked out well. The two of us, like I said, we didn't know each other. I didn't know anyone coming down here. This was sort of the first time I'd been south of, like, Charlotte. And, you know, it was – we just walked into the gym one day, and I think he was wearing a VCU shirt, and I was wearing a VCU shirt. And that's when we knew that this was going to work. Because we're two very, very different coaches, which is good. But we were able to come together sort of on one common ground where we start everything from.
Right. So just jumping. So the people that are listening. So, okay. So, you know, we go through your whole history. You know, looking here. I'm looking at your resume. Again, it's crazy. If anybody wants a copy of a really good resume, just email me. But anyway, so unbelievable. Great student, blah, blah, blah. So you graduated in
2014.
Yeah. So you're a puppy, as I referred to him at this point. You're a puppy and you're just starting out in your career. Where do you want to go is what I'm asking, basically, in a roundabout way. Do you see yourself here in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in the spectrum of?
Yeah. It turns out that this is, I informed my headmaster actually a couple weeks ago that this I was going to sort of step away after this year, because the goal has always been to be a college coach.
Okay.
You know, I've all that has always been the end game to be a college coach, and specifically a D1 college coach. And so this, you know, I sort of sat down, and I was at the Final Four this weekend at the coaches convention, and
which was a wonderful, for everybody that's listening, is a unbelievable, because I have a former assistant coach that was at UIC, University of Illinois Chicago. He was an assistant. He's my JV coach or sophomore coach now. Great guy. Drew knows his game. He's eventually going to take over, hopefully, for me at some point. Yeah. But anyway, he left the college game. But I've talked to him so much about the college game, and he says that is the place you got to be. That is the national convention. That is where you can have it's unbelievable. That is where you're going to make the connection that's eventually going to get you a job.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I 110% agree. And, you know, I think last summer, so before this year started, I had a couple job interviews with college teams. Got some, didn't get some. Ended up saying, no, I need to do one more year here to really sort of fulfill my time and do the job that I wanted to from the beginning. But, you know, hindsight being 2020, was it the right decision? You know, it's easy to look back on it. But I knew at the end of this year, college coaching is where I want to be, and I need to sort of go at that full steam.
So you're probably looking Dobo, huh?
Even something, you know.
Are you thinking starter in a D3 or D2? Because that's an interesting spectrum of what.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I ideally would be a D2 or D1 GA, and that's sort of what I'm looking for right now.
Okay.
You know, since I know I want to be at the D1 level, I've kind of been staying away from D3 a little bit just because of not having the scholarship athletes.
Right. And that's a harder, because I'm going to tell you, if I'm the head coach at Virginia and I'm coming after you, you have to bring something to the table. And usually it's, you're going to be able to bring me players.
Exactly. And
so you may be the best X and O guy, but if I don't have players,
nothing's going to work. And I remember one of the best things, my first NABC convention, I've been a member for a lot longer, but the first one I actually went to was Indy, 3 years ago now, 2 years ago. And I got hooked up with the organization Rising Coaches Elite. Great group of guys. And I was at their conference this past summer. Okay. And they had, God, I'm not going to be able to remember. One of the assistants from Washington was there speaking. And he said, one of the best ways to get in is be a D2 GA. You know, because at the D2 school, as opposed to D1, you coach, you don't, but you can also be on the road recruiting and go ahead and get all that experience. So that's sort of why I'm looking at the D1, D2 area.
And how do you go about, so this is, again, for the listeners, how do you go about doing that? How do you get your foot in the door to get a GA job? One, I'm going to hire one of my former players to come back and let them be the GA.
Absolutely. No, it certainly is tough. You know, with working camps, I have a solid network of people that I can always bounce ideas off of, and they have their eyes open for, you know, jobs, and they'll relay it to me. But other than that, back in the fall, I wrote a cold call letter to pretty much every D2 school in the country.
So say that again. So you cold called them or you wrote them?
I wrote them, and the ones I followed up with, I called. But
And how many D2 schools are there?
Oh, I mean, there's 300 plus.
Yeah.
But I had to sort of come up with a method to how to do that, right?
There's one in Wisconsin. It's crazy. Because the WEAC.
I know how many D3 schools are there in Wisconsin.
Well, and the D3s have always been good. That's where Bo Ryan started. Exactly. And that's where Dick Bennett started. So the D3s in Wisconsin are as good as a lot of D2s, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
So what's happening right now is the Minnesota D2s are coming in and stealing our kids.
So
the WEAC's gone down a little bit, I think. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective if they'll ever go D2. I don't think they will, but
yeah. But no, so I wrote all these letters in my, you know, the, like I said, 300 plus schools, that's just too much data to comprehend at once. And so my method was, I started with last year's end of the year top 25. Wrote a letter to all those 25 schools. Then I went to the previous year, wrote a letter to every school that I hadn't covered. And I just kept moving back and back and back until I'd covered pretty much all the schools.
And so that's an interest. So you're a math teacher. I'm a math teacher.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. So when I eventually got this job, I had done the same thing with high schools and things I thought that could win and have good players. But anyway, I would have started at the bottom and worked my way up. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.